Hi, and welcome to Rewatchable. This is episode 41 for Veronica Mars, episodes 5, President Evil, and episode 6, High Infidelity. As you can tell from my amazingly un-American accent, Danielle is not here today. So unfortunately, you have to put up with me, Marima. And I have with me Caitlin, Gabrielle, and Karen. Say hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How's everyone doing today?
Pretty good.
Excited to discuss Veronica Mars.
Before we get started, you can always get in contact with us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com and on Twitter at re_watchable. And of course, you can always find us on hyperball.com. So before we jump into episode 5, I feel like I haven't been on any season 3 episodes yet. So I need to do like a quick roundup of my emotions. And the first one being very highly disappointed in how Kendall's storyline ended up.
Oh.
Also, severe dislike for Veronica Mars season 3 credits and credit music. Not a fan of that.
Yes.
Oh,
And
thank you.
declare my eternal love for Piz, even though I've seen him like twice. So
What?
now that that's out of the
Yes, I agree.
way, yeah, it's fine. I just like I can't have Kendall, so I have to latch onto someone else. So you know. I've went from Kendall to Piz because that's a reasonable transition.
He's gonna turn out to be like this mastermind or something now.
I don't think so. His hair tells me otherwise. Okay, so Veronica Mars, episode 5, President Evil. So in this episode, Veronica uses Weevil as show and tell for her class project before naturally accusing him of robbery and stealing Lily's necklace. Veronica jumped the gun, and it turned out to be the campus security officers who organized the heist. Meanwhile, Keith takes on Dean O'Dell and his wife as clients to find the dean's stepson's father to save his life. Keith was duped, and the shadiness of the dean was exposed. Wallace is apparently in mechanical engineering and is having issues. Wallace cheats and gets caught by the professor. Veronica continues to investigate the rapes, but finds out that the guy who might have raped Claire was actually her boyfriend. As in Claire's boyfriend, not Logan, although that wouldn't be surprising. So, what did we think of this episode? We got a lot of Weevil in this episode. Were we a fan of this, seeing Weevil and Veronica reunited again?
Definitely.
Not really.
Oh, well,
Tell
this
us
is
why.
starting off well.
Well, I just didn't like how their relationship was portrayed as, first they were all friendly and he was shocked that she was dating Logan, which I found like surprising because even though he was in prison, he probably still had his PCH boys like telling him what was going on in town. And second of all, how she just fell into bad habits and blamed him. I thought it was a little disappointing that they hadn't moved on from that.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
true.
for once, though, she kind of had logical conclusions to think that maybe it was him because she did tell him about the casino thing. She did just tell him about talking about the necklace and she told him about Logan and everything kind of did fit into place. Not that I agree with her always blaming Weevil because he doesn't do like half the things that he's blamed, that she's blamed him for, but I actually really liked their relationship in this episode because I felt like they were kind of getting back on the right track again after, she figured out that he wasn't the one that did it. And I think I was just really happy that he's back and trying his hardest.
One of the
Yeah, I
things
have
that
to say.
always,
Oh, no, go ahead.
sorry, and say one of the things that just bugs me about Veronica as a character is her willingness to believe the worst of people she professes to care about. Like she thought Logan was a murderer, and she thought Weevil did this, even though they've been through a lot together, and he's obviously trying to grow as a person. So it just seems like a pattern with her, and it at times makes her hard to like for me.
I mean, I can understand, why she jumps to conclusions about Weevil, because he did organize for that one guy to get killed that one time, that we may have forgotten about. Although I'm definitely Team Weevil after this episode, because he is not cool with Veronica dating Logan either. So, like, Weevil and I are on the same page for sure about this. What did you guys think about that? Was that, I mean, I totally agree. It's a bit weird that he didn't know about it, but putting that aside, do we think his reaction was reasonable, or do we understand why he reacted like that?
I guess it was kind of reasonable because they have had such an up and down relationship, but it bothered me that he still was like, oh, you know, how could you date him after what he did to Lily or how he hurt Lily when it was Aaron Eccles who was the one hurting Lily. So I don't know why he still thinks Logan is like an abusive person. So that kind of pisses me off, but I think it's a normal reaction because they have been so up and down.
And I think Weevil's really protective of Veronica, and so he doesn't want to... He knows the type of person that Logan can be, and he just wants her to be careful.
Yeah, they should break up. Weevil totally has my back on this one. And I did love seeing Weevil in Veronica's like show and tell, but I don't want to steal Caitlin's favorite scene. So we can talk more about that later.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, in that scene, Quinn, hello.
Yeah.
I totally know that Glee reference because I saw season one. What's up? So that was random and like pointless. I always just think that's funny. Okay, so what else have we got going on in this episode? We have a lot more of the rape case in this episode. And just because I haven't been on one of these yet, I'm curious, like, what are you guys feeling about this whole season arc, because this seems to be obviously what it's going to be. How are we feeling about it in general?
I'm definitely invested. I really, really want to know who's been doing this, and I have a lot of ideas and I can't really pin it to one single person, which I think is really interesting, because you know, you really want to know who did it, but you also don't want it to be too easy as you go through the season. But at the moment, I'm just really, really mad at the girls because they're being so obnoxious and they're getting so mad at Veronica because she's trying to find out who really did it. Like, she's not just going to pin it on somebody because they might not be that great or they might be misogynistic. You know, she's actually trying to find out who is raping them, and they don't seem to really care about that, and it's really frustrating.
I'm invested in the storyline just because Veronica's invested, and because of her history, I think it's an important storyline. But I like how the girls are acting, but I just like more the portrayal of the girls because I think it's just kind of unrealistic. That you just have this like militant girl group on campus who just wants to see anyone get caught. And so I just think it's kind of a male-centric view in a sense, because I don't think girls who have been raped or girls whose friends have been raped would just be out for blood and be like a guerrilla organization. I think they would be more understanding and want to work with Veronica a little more. So I don't know. I just don't like the portrayal, not necessarily the girls in general.
Yeah, I agree. The feminists seem very stereotypical portrayals, that kind of just too much broad strokes in their portrayals, that are just, there could be a lot more finesse on both sides, I think, that's making it harder for me to get invested.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I don't know how invested I am in this storyline, honestly, and I think that has a lot more to do with how it's being done than the actual storyline. But like, rape stories in general always make me like vaguely uncomfortable. So until I know exactly how they're gonna treat it, and by that I mean like who did it and why, etc., I probably will be like just a bit unsure about this whole thing. But you know, it's Veronica Mars, so what happens? Everyone gets raped and everyone gets date raped, and like, that's just, we knew that from the pilot, so good times.
It's also,
yeah,
just one thing, it's also a little ridiculous, just having just graduated college, that a freshman in college is the one who's putting all this together and the one that's like getting to talk to all these people, that she doesn't have anyone who's like a senior helping her, that no one else is really on the case. It just seems a little bit TV show, fiction, real life, realistic. So
Yeah, well, not just a senior helping her, like maybe, I don't know, a police officer, someone who misses their job.
Or someone undercover or something like that. It's just, it's a little bit like too glitzy, I think, for me to be super invested.
Let's think about the police officers that are available.
Oh, you don't even have to tell me. Literally half my notes from watching this episode are just, oh, Lam, I hate you. Why didn't you die in that bus or that plane or like be in the fridge that was on fire? Just anywhere else. Oh, so disappointing. And what did we think about Veronica allowing Logan to sort of help her out with this, with the rape case? any thoughts? I mean, I'm just like anti-Logan in general, so I
feel
like I shouldn't comment.
I didn't really even think about it, to tell you the truth. Like, is it a big deal? Like, am I missing something?
Well, I just think it's a big deal because Veronica resists help from anyone, including her father on most cases. So the fact that she actually brought Logan along to investigate, I thought just showed that she's grown since she's gotten to college, or that their relationship is strong enough that she trusts him.
Yeah, I don't know. Fair point, I guess. Plus, you know, she needed backup, apart from backup, who was in this episode. Extra backup. I think I would be more intimidated by the dog, I have to say.
I'm so glad we've been seeing more of him lately.
More of who? Of backup?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really underused character.
Best supporting actor.
Oh, dear. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about sort of the case of the week, I guess, because we haven't talked about that yet. So the robbery in the president's masks, which was hilarious. I thought it was really funny, but you know, that's just me. So Mercer having a casino in his room, is this plausible? Do we like this? I know you guys talked about this a little bit last time. I thought it was funny and plausible. Yes, I think it's plausible. But maybe that's an Australian thing, so...
I think it's plausible.
Give me that foreign perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of talked about how just no college life I ever experienced is anything like college life on Veronica Mars, and no dorm room was like that. So whatever.
Yeah, just seems it seems plausible. Also, even though I know Mercer is Logan's friend, and you know, at the end of the next episode, like, I don't really know if we're supposed to like him that much. I really like Mercer. I think he's an attractive character, and he's funny, and he's, like, a good foil for Logan. So I kind of like that he's a little bit dangerous, but still seems to be a good guy, at least in this episode.
Yeah, I quite like him as well. Although I have to say, in the next episode, I didn't put it together that it was, like, the casino guy. I was like, Mercer, that sounds familiar. Oh, well, like, they're all pretty boys. It'll be one of them.
Yeah, it took me a little while to kind of put it all together, too. I don't know how I really feel about him. He just seems kind of sleazy. I mean, he is sleazy. He was running this, like, you know, underground casino thing out of his dorm room, and he just seems like a bad influence.
I refuse to defend anyone now.
What?
I just refuse to defend anyone now.
Caitlin and I are so jaded.
Like, oh, I don't care who you are. I'm not defending you because that bit me in the ass before. So I'm done.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, because apparently someone else doesn't want to say, he is super attractive. So
he really is.
There is that. So like, what did we think about the case in general, with it being the security guards and all of this with the masks and the fake guns, and the scene with the theater group was hilarious. The like theater team versus the film group rivalry was fantastic. But apart from that, do we like it? The security guards, the ineffectual fake cops that were on campus being the ones that did it?
I think it's a good twist. But through the whole episode, and especially that scene when they were actually, like, they had the masks on and they were pointing the guns at people, like, I couldn't let go how terrible his accent was. And I'm like, this is completely ridiculous. And, you know, out of everything, that's what I focus on, which is just weird, but it really bothered me.
Oh, I thought the same thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, so what else do we have in this episode? We had a lot of Keith in this episode, and Keith getting duped. So he's human, it turns out, guys. He doesn't get everything right.
What?
Yeah, I know. What? The only adult on this show that isn't insanely crazy, like, has flaws? Whoa, weird. So what did we think about this? Was this practical? Is this believable?
I think it's believable. I think this episode, the one before it, and the following episode show how Keith is not just Veronica's father, but he's a person. So I appreciated that a lot. It's just a little... In this episode, I thought he could have investigated the dean more, just if you're taking on a client, like, want to know more about them and their situation. But at the same time, this guy threatened to expel Veronica before, so I get his hesitation. In the next episode, I'm disappointed in Keith, so I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah. I kind of like the dean, which is weird because I'm not entirely sure if I trust him yet, but just something about him, I do kind of like him. And it was almost my favorite scene, and it's nobody else's, so I'll go ahead and talk about it. But when Keith barges into his office and is like, "You tell me right now what's going on," and the dean's just like, "Okay, they're in Mexico." I was like, that's so funny. Like, Keith had built himself up to, like, barge in there like this, you know, bad guy, and the dean just kind of like admits to it, and then it turns out that he was tricking him, and I was like, well, that's not my favorite scene anymore. But I think his intentions were good, even if the way he went about it was not okay.
The dean's intentions?
Yeah.
He was trying to save the son. His heart was in the right place. Right. Even if he did some skeevy things, but the stepfather, or the biological father, was pretty awful.
Oh, he was so bad.
He kind of deserved it for just not being a decent human being. So, like, I didn't dislike the dean for this because, like, this is your child. Like, you do what you got to do.
I mean, I did dislike them a little bit for, I mean, I feel like this is fair enough. They performed surgery on someone against his will and, like, took him in unconscious and et cetera, et cetera. So that's pretty bad thing to do. Don't do that at home, kids. But yeah, you can understand where he's coming from. And I have to agree, I quite enjoy the dean a lot, although we can talk about this in the next episode. Like, I don't understand why he's, like, friends with Veronica. This is the weirdest
so
thing.
So funny.
They just hang out and have lunch together. Like, okay, cool. No worries. That did not happen at my school. That's fine.
Our president ate in our cafeteria. I don't know why.
What's a president?
Oh, well, we had, like, a president of our college.
Oh, I get it. Sorry, we don't have that over here, but that's your weird American system. Okay, so, so we can talk more about Keith in the next episode. And I guess the other major thing that happened in this is apparently Wallace has always wanted to be a mechanical engineer, which has never been mentioned before. When he kept being like, "I've always wanted to be this, like, I've just always wanted to do this," I was like, when, Wallace? Like, when have you ever mentioned this? But, you know, maybe I missed that. Did this make sense? Can we see Wallace as a mechanical engineer? It's very specific.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. I'm sorry. This pissed me off. I think I was talking with Caitlin about this on Twitter.
Yes.
That, like, great for Wallace. One, mechanical engineering is not an intro class. Two, maybe we should have seen him take AP Calculus, AP Physics, like, seem smart at Neptune High, which is not to say he was portrayed as a dumb character, but he just was never portrayed in an academic setting. We just knew him as Veronica's best friend, a cool guy, and a basketball player. So it seems kind of out of left field to be like, oh, I've always wanted to be a mechanical engineer. And I think the fact that Wallace cheated makes me disappointed in him, but I was already disappointed with him last season with the Jane and Jackie thing. So it makes him more human, which is great, but I just wish the show showed academics a little more realistic, because it's also really hard to believe, like, that Veronica, who's supposedly really smart, Mac, who's really smart, you know, go to Hearst, as do Wallace and Logan and Dick. Like, it's hard to figure out what kind of school Hearst is or what's it supposed to be compared to. Whereas on Felicity, you had University of New York, which was clearly NYU, and other shows try to, like, make it apparent what college it's supposed to be. So I think I'm just having trouble with, like, who is Wallace as a student and how good of a school is Hearst in reality? Like, what are we supposed to think of it?
Well, Wallace outright says his test scores aren't very good, but he's on a basketball scholarship. So the athletes don't need to have as good a grades to get into the school. But I still couldn't figure out why he wasn't going to, like, his professor's, like, office hours or actually getting, like, a legit tutor. Lots of schools make their athletes have tutoring sessions or study halls, and professors encourage their students to go to their office hours. So I was like, what are you doing? I don't understand how the leap is from I failed one test to I'm going to go buy a test.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, this was obviously, like, the B plot of the episode, and I felt like it distracted us away from the A plot more than anything. And I think between this episode and the next one, the way in which Wallace kind of comes around was really nice to see, but also just kind of unnecessary. I mean, we're already invested in his character, and I don't know why this has to be something that, you know, they have to use as sort of an undertone to the rest of the story, because it's just not necessary. I want to know what's happening with the main plot.
Yeah, I have to say I'm not, like, super invested in Wallace so far in this season, and this did nothing to help that. But that's fine, because I laughed out loud when he got caught, so good times. And just in general, I always never really know what's going on when it's an American TV show showing, like, sports at college, because that's not a thing that happens here. So I don't know how that works. Everything I know about that is I've learned from, like, two seasons of One Tree Hill. So I think I'm doing well, and I basically have it down by now. And that's that you can do anything that you want as long as you're on a sports scholarship, as long as you're moody about it and have trouble with academics. I think that's how it goes.
That seems pretty accurate.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Wallace is doing well on that scale. Let's go ahead and do our favorite scenes. Caitlin, why don't you go first? We mentioned yours a little bit earlier.
So mine was at the very beginning when Veronica brings Weevil in as her prop, and she's like, he's audio, yo, and visual. It's hilarious.
He just, like, motions to himself.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
So good.
Also, what's up with that teaching assistant that, like, hates her because she beat him at a game of Cluedo or whatever? Like, I don't know. Or what am I calling it? Clue, not Cluedo. I hate that guy. I don't really like anyone in this season, I've discovered. Watching these two episodes is a lot of notes about people that I don't like.
Piz, so, you like Piz.
Yeah. I like Piz. I literally don't like any other character that we have been
introduced
to.
You don't like Parker?
What, the new Meg? No, amazingly, I don't like the new Meg. we can talk about this later again. Gabrielle, what was your favorite?
So my favorite scene is when Veronica goes to the pizza parlor and talks to her biggest fan. And, you know, she's basically a legend at Neptune High, which I thought was really cute because she didn't always get treated the best at Neptune High. So the fact that she's remembered is adorable. And the guy was definitely crushing on her. So it was really funny.
Oh, yeah. This was my favorite as well. So I'll jump in here. I just liked how he basically gave us, like, greatest hits of Veronica Mars season one and season two. Like, hey, remember when this happened? Remember when you did this? Remember when you did this? And then when he's doing the accent and she's, like, nodding at him, like, yeah, good job. And he's like, yeah, I got this. I got this.
Oh, it was so good.
I like that guy. Make a show about him.
He should be her sidekick.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be so great. And Karen, favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Veronica gets her necklace back. And I really liked this whole storyline of her necklace and losing it, because you can just tell she is so invested in that necklace because it was from Lily and she was taking no prisoners and she really didn't care. Like, she just wanted her necklace back. That was the number one priority. And when she finally gets it back, even though she has to, like, rip it off the neck of a little girl, which that little girl was a brat, so I don't even feel bad. You know, it was just kind of like a relief, I think, for her and kind of for us that she had it back and everything was kind of okay again.
Yeah, that little girl sucks. Okay, so favorite lines. I am going to go first because mine is the most nonsensical. And I have no idea why this made me laugh so hard, but when they're watching the film at the film club event, and they're doing the hold up, the guy in the Nixon mask says, and don't forget to vote, as he's, like, holding up the guy at the cashier. And literally, I was, like, crying with laughter at this. And I have no idea why. I have no idea why. Except I enjoy all of their Nixon jokes. And there were more in the next episode. But maybe that's just the history nerd in me. So moving on from me being weird, Caitlin, what was your favorite line?
Mine was when Veronica is accusing Weevil of having been involved in the stick-up, and she, like, is pointing out all the evidence, including his cologne, and she says his cologne stinks, and Weevil goes, my cologne stinks? So all this play I've been getting is from pure sex appeal? I love you, Weevil!
Yes, it is. So true. Karen, favorite line?
My favorite line is from Weevil as well. And this is actually pretty much the same scene. But Weevil says, "I can't believe you'd think I'd do that to you after all we've been through." And I know that their relationship was kind of rocky through this episode, but it's just, you can tell how much Weevil actually cares about Veronica, and he does really think that she's his friend, and it's just really sweet to see him. And I love it whenever he calls her V. I don't know why, but it just makes me smile.
Me too. I love a good nickname, even if it's just the first letter of your name. It's very Gossip Girl. No one else gets that reference? Okay, moving on.
I get it.
Gabrielle, what was your favorite line?
So mine is by Sheriff Lamb, who I thought was excellent in this episode and last episode. And so he goes to Logan after he picks up Weevil. "Hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later." And his delivery was great. And I just love that Logan is still a bad boy in Lamb's eyes, even if he's not in Veronica's, as we'll see in the next episode.
So by excellent, do you mean he was a disgusting human being or...
he did the robot. It was awesome.
Oh my God.
Did you hear in that scene, like, someone in the background is saying, "Oh, Sheriff's doing a robot. Someone get their phone." Like, something like that. Someone like muttering in the background. It was really funny.
I couldn't look at the TV screen because of secondhand embarrassment. I was like, why is he doing this? Oh my God. Just make him stop.
I like how basically no one in the sheriff's office, though, shows him any, I don't know, not even respect. Like, they just don't defer to him or anything. Like, he's like, "Can someone tell me when there's a random girl in my office?" And just no one answers because no one cares because he's super weird and I dislike him a lot.
He's an awful human being.
Yeah, he's terrible. Why does he have that job? See, these are the things that bother me about Veronica Mars. Like, anyway. That's fine. Moving on. Episode 6, High Infidelity, which is an excellent title. So in this episode, Veronica's investigation gets Claire expelled for falsifying rape accusations and Nish removed as editor-in-chief of the Free Press. Wallace gets the chance to drop mechanical engineering and not get any punishment for cheating, but instead stays in the class, takes the zero, and scales down on basketball. Veronica was set up by her TA for plagiarism on her A paper, only to find that Professor Landry and the dean's wife are having an affair. Ooh. Harmony asks Keith out, and although he resists at first, they end up having an affair also. Ooh. Piz invites Veronica bowling, almost like a date, and she invites Parker and Logan, making it super awkward. Parker has a crush on Piz, despite Piz saying she's not his type. Mercer also hosts a radio show, and his cologne sparks a memory in Parker. When Veronica investigates, she finds clippers in his room and goes to Lamb to arrest him. That combined with the GHB doesn't look good for Mercer, despite Logan's apparent alibi. So, you know, what did we think of this episode in general? Thumbs up,
I liked it more
down.
Than the other one.
Yeah, same. Yep, okay, cool. So... discussion. Piz, my favorite of all characters. I'm severely disappointed in how much of just supporting actor Piz is. As in, he's been in three episodes so far and I just dislike this a lot. Because we had to have annoying Jackie in so many episodes. We had annoying Wallace's other girlfriends in lots of the episodes. We had annoying Duncan in a whole season. And we can't even have Piz in season 3. So... sad, but Piz likes bowling, and Parker likes Piz, so this is awkward for everyone.
Yeah, I hope, it doesn't turn out where he's, guilted into going out with her or something like that, because it would just, I don't know, feel really wrong, and I actually do like Parker, and I want her to be happy, but I like Piz, and I don't want him to be, guilted into something like that.
I like Parker a lot, and I don't even know if she really likes Piz or just likes the fact that, you know, he's a nice guy and he's not connected to, you know, her rape, and he's just, a sweet guy. So I think it's just good to see her getting out and becoming friends with Veronica, although she has resisted for a while. And I don't know, Piz is so awkward, but I love him. And I love the actor who was in Private Practice, and he's in Enlisted, which is out right now. It's a Friday night show on Fox. So I like seeing him, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh, you're kind of really awkward, and you're kind of like trying to be friends with Veronica, and he's just too innocent for her, I feel like. I just don't feel like they're a great match in terms of friendship. Just because she's kind of hardened, and maybe it's time that she gets friends that appreciate that.
Oh, she would eat him alive.
Exactly. It's a little like, oh, he's a puppy dog.
Are you talking about Piz still? Do I need to defend my favorite character?
Apparently.
Your only character that you like?
Okay, well, besides the point, I don't mind backup. He can hang around too. Also, Weevil is fine when he's hating on Logan. I can't get into this season. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the really bad credits. I love Piz, and I don't even enjoy him from like a potential shipping thing with him and Veronica, although I'm sure that's a thing. It's just he's a nice character, and just because basically everyone else on this show has either like murdered someone or raped someone or been accused of murdering someone or been accused of raping someone doesn't mean that there aren't people in the world that are like just genuinely nice human beings. And I really hope Piers does not turn into like a horrible beaver like situation, but I don't think so. And he just gets excited about buying records, and he hosts a dorky radio show. Like, what's not to love about this? He goes bowling unironically. This is fantastic. So, yeah, don't hate on Piers. He's, like, literally the only reason that I'm still watching this show at this point.
He seems like a sweetheart, but he's totally interested in Veronica, who would eat him alive. Like, yeah, Veronica doesn't need a sweetheart in her life. She would destroy that.
I don't know. Maybe it would be nice for Veronica to, like, date someone who hasn't been accused of murdering someone and isn't, like, semi-psychopath and like whatever. Not that I'm talking about anyone in particular, just like hypothetically maybe someone who's nice would be, I don't know, a better idea, but that's fine.
I mean, you know, I love Logan, I really do, and I've been wanting Veronica and Logan to get together forever, but I feel like maybe Logan isn't always the best influence on her, and maybe she's not always the best influence on him. And I kind of feel like I agree that Piz is sort of like a puppy dog, and he's a sweetheart, and maybe that's what Veronica needs to kind of like make her trust in humanity again.
I just agree. Caitlin, you're just saying that you don't like how Veronica keeps judging the worst of everyone, and do you think that Logan really helps out with that?
Well, they're like people, though. I just think Veronica is too much personality, and that's not gonna change even if she's with a nice guy. She would just be all the personality in the room.
I think Piz has a personality. I think he's just like a bit more chill about it, but that's, you know. Yeah, sorry, Gabrielle, what have you been trying to say?
Well, I was just going to say Piz is a nice guy, but at the same time, nice guys don't invite girls who have boyfriends, you know, to bowl. Like, I don't think he's stepping off enough. I think he needs to just be a friend, and I think, I don't know, I think Logan feels a little threatened by him, as based by his, like, very PDA-ish baby talk at, you know, in bowling, and I think Piz needs to, like, give Veronica some space. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, speaking about the bowling and stuff, honestly, like, I thought that that was meant to be a group thing, because he seemed annoyed when Wallace wasn't going. So, I don't know, maybe I misread that. But I thought he was, like, very aware of, like, oh, this is going to be super awkward. It's going to look like I asked her out, like, whatever. And, yeah, then Logan was weird, so A+ for Logan. Like, good job.
Can we talk about the fact that, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but I would be surprised saying how you guys keep saying how small Kristen Bell is, but size 6 feet, oh my god, that's so tiny. That's like a child's foot.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That just, yeah. It was, I don't know why this is a big deal to me, but I have like size 11 feet, so this is just astronomical.
11?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I have big feet.
Pick, sorry, it didn't happen. We'll put one in the show notes.
Size 10 represent. Heck yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm size 8. I'm small.
I'm just an 8, yeah.
Gosh, that just seems so tiny to me. And 6 is like, you need to go to the kids section to get sneakers.
Yeah, but I'm shorter than you, Karen.
True.
So, like, I'm shorter than the world, so that's fine. Anyway, moving on. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, Ratty Ratner. Ugh. What did we think about him? Jeff Ratner.
I liked him.
Yeah?
It was kind of jerky of him to accuse Veronica of plagiarism, but I did like the interaction at the end. When he's just like, you walked past me for 2 years and you know, you're just like them. Because Veronica always kind of struggles with, is she more like the 09ers? Is she more like the 02ers? Like, who is she? So I like that we still had that conflict in college that, you know, she's still dating an 09er and she's still like helping out Dick and the Pi Sigs. So I did like that someone's like, hey, you proclaim to be all for the little guys, but you're really not. So I appreciated him.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought he was kind of a dick.
Like, he was, but yeah. I feel like he also kind of brought up some good points, and he was, I don't know, I kind of liked how he showed up Veronica in front of the whole class, and he was like, yeah, I was the one that turned you in, what of it? And I thought that, you know, he had some balls to do that, but I kind of like how, in the end, Veronica won anyway, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like what he did in class. I thought, like, that's just a jerk move.
He took a lot of glee from it.
Right. He was enjoying it, like, way, way too much. It seemed, like, quite vindictive.
So did the TA tell him that Veronica had plagiarized and that's how he knew to turn her in? Like, as a little losing.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that bit, if he'd, like, found it on him, like, on his own, or if someone had hinted that this was happening. Do you know Gabrielle?
I don't really think it's that clear in this episode. I was trying to figure that out. I think Tim just orchestrated it all, honestly. The TA.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the TA. We'll come back to some of this other stuff. Who is nuts. And he's like, oh yeah, I was doing you a favor because, I used to work with this guy all the time and now I'm jealous and I just screwed up with your life and you're welcome. So he should be fired. And I kind of don't know why Veronica wasn't like turning him in for that.
It was so random because he was like, I'm doing you a favor so you can see what kind of person he really is. Like, just tell her, like, why did she have to go on this scavenger hunt?
Yeah, for real.
So random.
Yeah, and I mean, what would have happened if she hadn't been able to find out? Like, oh, she would have been kicked out of the thing. Cool.
So, well, I don't know. I kind of thought when he said, like, I'm doing you a favor, I thought he was kind of insinuating that Landry gets close to students. I don't know. Did anyone else get that vibe that, like, Landry was creeping on her? That's what he was insinuating? Or am I just completely off?
No. I got that too. I got that from the TA, not from any of her like interactions with Landry, but when he was being like, you know, like you might want to stay away or whatever, I was like, but then at the same time, I mean, Veronica is an adult. Veronica is a woman who is able to make decisions about her life. Like, she doesn't need this creepy dude being like, hey, I'm just looking out for you. So that was not cool. I do not like this guy at all.
I think the one situation that really kind of made me think that about the professor was when they were having lunch together, when he invited her to lunch and was like doing his sales pitch for the program or whatever. And he just seemed like really, really, really into having her in his program. And I thought that was a little creepy.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally had those conversations with my
professors. I mean, it's not anything out of the ordinary, but I guess it was just like more like his body language and how much he really wanted her to be in the program. It just kind of, but then again, I'm like suspicious of everybody now. So I was just like, this guy's up to no good. And he was. It was just kind of a different line altogether.
Yeah, well, season 2 has ruined you and Caitlin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. So speaking of, what do we think about Landry and the Dean's wife? I guess, I mean, this does make him a bit sleazy. So, you know, that would make sense that that sort of comes across in his body language and stuff. But do we think this is important, or should Veronica have told the Dean? Like, any thoughts?
I'm more kind of WTF about the Dean's wife after they had just had this, like, cancer scare with their son where her husband went to all this effort to save their son's life, and then she's sleeping with someone else behind his back. Like, what? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I would really like if they had, like, a wife on this show who wasn't a train wreck. because that, like, I'm just trying to think. But, no, that hasn't happened yet. So that's, like, somewhat bothersome. Because I really liked the dynamic between the Dean and his wife. I thought it was really interesting in the last episode with, you know, like, her being so much younger, but them like being in it together and both willing to go to jail, et cetera, to save the kid. So this kind of just crossed out all of those things that I felt. So that's fun.
Well, I think the storyline of the affair just serves to make the Dean more sympathetic. Like, I really like the Dean, and I think after this episode, I like him even more and I feel sorry for him. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. That's why I was like, just be a nice person. Like, I just wish his wife was a... I mean, this just goes back to the same thing of I've always had an issue with on Veronica Mars, the fact that there are basically no adult role models. And, like, Veronica is just this oasis of morals and ethics, sort of, in this horrible town that could not exist, that it basically is, like, always having race riots and everyone should be dead and everyone has been date raped and, you know, all of the adults are horrible people. That just bothers me. But... you know what? We don't watch Veronica Mars for realism, so that's fine. What else happened? Wallace. Wallace and his dreams of becoming an engineer. Do we like that he stayed in the class, or do we think that he should have dropped it?
I still don't know why he's taking that as a freshman without any prereqs. Like, how are you in this class in the first place? That's not a freshman.
I don't know how your system works, but
that does seem... That's definitely a class you would take as, like, at least a sophomore, if not a junior. Like, that's
okay,
not
so,
a class you would be taking at all.
Yeah, so in Australia, like, Wallace would not even have been able to get into that course.
No, he shouldn't have been able to. He should have had, like, basic math and science as a prerequisite to get into the class.
Oh, no, I just meant, like, because his grades are not good.
Oh, like,
because he keeps saying, like, my grades were so bad. I'm like, how did you get into engineering? Like, I don't understand.
Well, the grades, like, the high school grades wouldn't matter to get into the program, but, like, for the class, usually you have to have taken other gen ed classes to be eligible to get into the class, unless the professor signs off on it as an exception. And yeah. This is his first semester as a freshman, so there's no way he's taken any first year science or math classes that would clearly be prerequisites to be taking a class this advanced.
Yeah, I feel like they haven't really thought through this whole plot line for Wallace. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was just, I kept getting distracted, but I'm like, this would not happen ever.
Yeah, I just kept trying to work it out. I was like, is this how it works in America? Because that is a weird system. Because, you know, everyone's always like, oh, America has such a weird education system. And I'm like, no, guys, what are you talking about? It's like the same thing. But if this is how it works, yeah, you guys have problems. That is really weird. But that's fine. You know, I guess we're meant to see that Wallace is maturing and being responsible and blah, blah, blah. If I cared more about his character, I might be more invested in this. But you know what? I really don't at this point.
I think this is the part really that kind of turned it around for me. And I was so disappointed when he decided to cheat. And I was like, this is just kind of going in the same direction that the whole Jackie thing was last season. And it's so disappointing because he was such a good character for so long. He had such great morals. And he got caught and he admitted to it. And he goes back to the class and he's like, yeah, I'm going to take the zero and it's going to be hard, but... you know, that's what he wants to do. And I agree that it's kind of out of the blue, but, you know, whatever, that aside, I think it's good that he's willing to put his education before his sports.
As someone who played a sport in college, I'm just curious about what division or level Hearst is supposed to be, like if it's a D1, a D2, D3, an AIA, because I played at an NAIA school, so academics were very much more important than the sports. So if there was always a lot more focus on the academics, and Hearst doesn't seem like a big enough school that it would be D1 where the sports are very much more important than the education. So if it was a lower level, I feel like there should be way more focus on the coaches even being trying to help him get academic help.
Okay, were you still speaking English then, or... I don't know what any of those words mean, except academic help at the end. I understood that part. Well, so, yes, Caitlin poses a very good question. Guys, tell us what you think about that question. Feel free to translate into Australian for me. Okay, so moving on from there, because I just had like a brainwave. Harmony and Keith, I'm sure you've talked about this on the other episodes, but I just realized that these characters are from Just Shoot Me and like yes, totally got together in that as well. Because I was like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, she's from Just Shoot Me. And then literally as we were like talking about whatever you were just talking about, and my mind certainly drifted, I was like, wait a second, he was also in that show, and they were totally together in that show, so this just makes it very funny. What do we think about Harmony and Keith? I know, Gabrielle, I think you said you were disappointed in Keith in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was realistic, because it was time for Keith to date again, because I feel like he didn't date in season two. In season one, he dated two people, so it was just time. But I was still disappointed, because he still is helping someone cheat on their husband, who he just found out to be faithful. So I think it makes him human, but it just makes me and Veronica disappointed.
Yeah, it's kind of strange because they have really good chemistry and I kind of wanted them to get together. But at the same time, I was like, it would be really different if her husband was a sleazebag. And he's not. Like, he wasn't cheating on her or anything. And now she's basically doing what she had Keith investigating her husband for. And I get why he went back after he got hit by the car. But at the same time, I was so proud of him for walking away. And when he went back, it was just, it was really, really disappointing.
I defended her on the last episode. See, I'm totally done defending people. Because I kind of was like, you know, she's in a loveless marriage. She has no obligation to stay with him. So I kind of sympathize with her. And then let's go do exactly like what you said, that what she was trying to get Keith to find her husband doing. I'm like, I'm done. I don't sympathize with you anymore. I'm done defending people on this show ever.
Yeah, this was not cool. And I didn't like the way that she kept justifying it by saying like, oh, we're just friends. Me and my husband are just like good friends now and there isn't anything there. Because it's like, okay, well, if that's what it is and that's making you unhappy, like split up. You don't have to stay together. And I didn't like that justification, especially because like, yeah, Keith, we're meant to think that Keith is like a good guy. And I get it, like Keith is giving into his impulses and that's what people do, but seriously, he's meant to be an intelligent guy. Like, think with your brain, Keith, not with your other parts of your body.
Use your upstairs brain, not your downstairs brain.
Use your upstairs brain. That is a good way to put it. This is a G-rated show. Okay, so what else have we got going on in this episode? Lots of bits and pieces. Logan as a bad boy, turning in his Tesla. Okay, cool. So Logan is living up to the family standard of creeps and rapists by riding on his test for an extra 10 seconds. I liked his how he mixed up the tests at the end,
though. Yeah, like, that was so clever.
Yeah.
That was typical.
That was very typical. And the teacher that was taking that class kind of sucked, so that was fine with me. I didn't care. Yes? No one wants to talk about Logan? Guys, I'm giving you a prime opportunity.
I don't know. I've been disappointed this season because I feel like he's gotten the short end of the stick in terms of storylines.
Oh, that's not the disappointment that I was hoping for.
He had a fake brother.
Yeah, I feel the same way because it was like until that happened, I was like, what's going on with Logan? Like, he's just kind of there with Veronica. Like, he doesn't have his own storyline. And that happened. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is going to be him struggling throughout the season to kind of come to terms with this. And they're going to form a relationship and blah, blah. And it turned out to be, like, fake or kind of fake. The guy who was posing as his brother was fake. And I was just like, you know, it's over and done with. What's going to happen now?
Yes, and even though I'm sure they talked about this on the episode that actually talked about this, but the best thing about that scene was that it was Logan from Veronica Mars and Logan from Gilmore Girls, who were brothers. And the whole time I was looking at it being like, oh, I really hope that this isn't a recurring character because I'm just going to start calling him Logan, like how I used to call the guy that's Dean on Gilmore Girls. I thought he was Dean on Supernatural the whole time. Until, like, I don't know, several months ago, I was like, that one's Dean. And someone's like, that other one's Dean. And I was like, why would they do this to me? It could have been so straightforward. So I'm kind of glad that that didn't go any further because, yeah, seriously, I would have started calling whatever his – I can't even remember what his name was now. Other Logan. Logan 2.0 from Gilmore Girls. So – but, yeah, Logan hasn't really had much to do, but maybe he will after this because – he's now tied in with Mercer and Mercer's alibi and Logan's alibi and all of these things. So what do we think that is? Because apparently Mercer could not have raped the person because he was doing something secretive with Logan that he can't tell Veronica, which is always a good thing to say to your insane, suspicious girlfriend.
Well, I was really disappointed, actually, when Logan was like, he has an alibi, because I was like, okay, I haven't really liked Mercer up until this point. He seems super shady, and it seemed really plausible that he could be the one that had raped those girls. I mean, obviously, they found a lot of evidence that pointed in that direction, and he was just kind of creepy. But, I mean, whatever. That aside, I think Logan's alibi, I almost want to say it must have something to do with Dick because he hasn't really been at the forefront recently. And I feel like we still have a lot of information missing about him. And we know that Logan and Dick are like becoming closer friends and stuff. And I just kind of have a feeling that maybe Logan doesn't want to tell Veronica more about Dick to make her not like him anymore, and that's why he's like, I can't tell you. It's sort of like he's saying it's not my secret to share.
Yeah, I don't know. Just I'm suspicious.
It's probably going to be like, they were surfing or something stupid. Like,
yeah,
we're going to play up the drama and then it's nothing.
Right. I get a little bit sick of just everyone being like to Veronica, I can't tell you, because inevitably, like, Veronica is going to find out, and then we're going to have another conversation about, oh, why can't you just trust me, and why are you so suspicious of me, and you're a bad girlfriend, and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, that's fine. Do we think that, so we don't think that this is important going ahead with the rape case or anything? Do we think that this basically, this is going to clear Mercer now?
Guess so. I mean, why would Logan lie about that, you know?
I don't know. Why would he? I don't know. Just asking a question. It makes me laugh when I host this show because I don't know what's going on either. Okay, so did anyone else have anything they wanted to talk about for this? I got a little bit excited during this episode because I thought like the rape case was going to start to get tied up and there was going to be something else, and then I was like, no, of course there isn't, of course this is going to go until episode whatever it is, 22 or something. So
I just wanted to say I wish Mac would come back.
Yes,
because I think it's been like a few episodes that we really haven't seen her. She really hasn't been at the forefront this season. And I love Veronica and her together, so I'm just waiting for her to come back. And I do like Parker and Veronica, so I really want it to be like, you know, a new girl group on campus that they're just really tight. So, and she's witty and funny. And we need her.
Was the actress that plays Mac, was she like filming something else during this? Or is there a reason that she's so sporadic? Or just that they didn't really want to use her character very much? Someone will tell me in the comments. You guys know everything. Yeah, speaking of Parker, actually, like, I really just wish that they hadn't dressed her and given her a wig that is styled in the exact same way as Meg's was. Like, she literally, she looks like Meg. And that bothers me because, as I have mentioned before, I have a severe dislike of the amount of like petite blonde girls running around on this show.
We thought in the last episode that you would be unhappy about that.
You guys know me so well. Just there are other hair colors. Like, frustrating. Wait, actually, one more thing that we didn't get to talk about yet. What are you guys thinking about the free press and Nish and this whole situation? Because we didn't really discuss, but, you know, like Claire gets kicked out for apparently like faking her rape or whatever, which was weird and bizarre. Yeah, what do we think about that whole thing before we do favorite scenes?
I think that she deserved to get kicked out. I mean, that's not something you want to mess with. And I realize that they want more attention to come to it and for it to be solved. But the way that they're going about it just does not seem logical. And they would do best to just let Veronica handle it.
I agree with Karen. I think how they're being portrayed this season really annoys me as like really hardcore militant feminists. And I think if you lie about a rape and then accuse other people of raping you, then yeah, you should probably be kicked out of school. In terms of Nish, it's kind of, I don't really think the dean has the power to remove her as editor-in-chief, as it is the free press, but I do think she should have removed herself as she's no longer objective.
Well, we saw before with like the pot thing that she doesn't exactly care about the truth. She just wants a good story or whatever. Like, she hasn't exactly proven herself to be a great moral character before this.
No, once again, Veronica is the shining light of morals.
Which bothers me a lot, because she's not that good of a person.
Yeah, but in comparison to everyone that she's around, like, she's a saint. Welcome to Veronica Mars. Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you guys. I think there are some major issues of the way that this whole thing is being portrayed. And I guess like it's a sensitive thing if you're talking about rape, and they kind of got around it a bit with Veronica's because it was tied into everything else, but making it the central kind of conceit of the whole season means that obviously the focus is going to be on that. And so far they haven't been portraying it with a whole lot of subtlety. I don't think it's basically like frat boys versus like militant feminists, and then Veronica in the middle. So we'll see how that plays out in future episodes. So let's do favorite scenes. Let's talk about fun things. And everyone has fun. Oh no, Karen, you took a boring one, but everyone else has fun things. So Karen, what's your favorite scene, and then we can talk about things that were fun.
Oh, thanks. Mine's not boring.
The others are funny.
Well, I pretty much talked about mine before, but I really liked when Wallace takes the zero on his test and then continues his engineering class, because he didn't have to do that. He would have gotten off scot-free and would have saved himself a lot of headaches and sleepless nights, but he didn't. He did the right thing, and I was just really proud of him.
Thumbs up, Wallace. And Caitlin, you have a Wallace scene as well?
Mine was when Veronica comes looking for Wallace, and he's like, he's not here. I'm evil Wallace. And Veronica doesn't hang out with the evil and morally bankrupt. Like, their dynamic is just so adorable. Evil Wallace. Yes.
I like it. Gabrielle, what have you got for your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is just the entire bowling scene. It's hilarious, and I love the dynamic between the four of them. So if we could have more, like, fun bowling scenes, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that was fun. I liked that a lot. Mainly because there was Piers, and my favorite scene also had Piers. And it was when Veronica and Piers were, like, being awkward teenage girls, and Veronica was trying to find out, like, if Piers was into Parker. And Piers was being like, no, she's not my type. And I'm like, she's a Veronica clone. Like, yes, she's your type. She's this girl standing right in front of you, just if she was a bit more, I don't know, peppy. And he's like, no, I don't really like that. Oh, God. And they were so awkward, and it was hilarious. So, Piers, I love you, Piers. So, favorite lines. I will go first. Mine was, can you guys help me out? I can't remember this guy's name, the guy that sells the tests. Was it Max?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like the cheat. So my favorite line, I don't know why I found Max so funny, but I thought he was hilarious in that whole interaction with Veronica as well. When she's like explaining it to him and he's like, you're holding that test. So like, why do you need another one? And so when she finally explains it to him and he's like, wow, this must be a real Kafka-esque experience for you. And then when she like points out and says, oh, like who posted that? And he looks up and it's Rory Finch. And he's like, that's not you, is it? Because that would explain everything. And I was like, oh, Max, you're great. And I don't know why. I just enjoyed them a lot. So Caitlin, favorite line, take it away.
So we basically already talked about this, but it's Logan and Veronica talking, and Logan says, I took 10 extra seconds on a test. I thought you loved bad boys. Veronica says, I do, but if that's your idea of badge, you need to turn in your badge. This is a far cry from their stakeout, and they're talking about bad boys having their girlfriend shipped away.
Excellent. Gabrielle.
Okay, mine is between Jeff and Logan. So Jeff goes, I've worked here for 2 years. You've seen me 100 times, but you don't notice the little people because you're too busy lounging with Captain Moneybags here. Logan, that's Admiral Moneybags. Loved it. Love Logan. Pretty much sums it up.
Ugh. Karen, take it away from Logan, please.
Okay. My favorite line comes from Keith, and he says, when did crappy old shirts with stupid stuff on them become cool? And I love this line because 98% of my wardrobe is t-shirts with like fandomy things on them. So I just really related to this a lot.
Keith, I've often asked myself the same question. Just kidding. Okay. So I think that wraps it up for episode 6. Don't forget you can always get in touch with us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com and find us on Twitter at re_watchable. And if you're feeling super happy about our podcast and you're loving it, you can leave us an iTunes review, which we appreciate. And if some Australians could leave them in the Australian iTunes store, that would be great because I can't see any of the others and it makes me feel unloved. So I'll fake cry more on next episode if you guys don't leave anything. So we've got a little bit of listener feedback. Caitlin, did you want to read this one?
Sure. This is from Twitter. Mariah Lovegood said, no one has pointed out the professor who is also the professor on Saved by the Bell. Are you guys too young to have seen it? To which I say, scoff, scoff, too young to have seen Saved by the Bell. At least some of us are not too young to have seen Saved by the Bell, but...
I have even seen Saved by the Bell. And am I the youngest person on this episode? I don't know.
I think I am.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
For but once. I've not seen it, so.
Wait, seriously? I grew up on Saved by the Bell.
What?
It was formative in my childhood.
Yeah. But
Veronica's criminology professor was a professor in Saved by the Bell, the college years, and he's been in, like, every single TV show ever. Like,
oh,
I'm trying to think of a show I have not seen him in. Like...
How old are you, Gabrielle?
21.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, I'm older.
How old are you, Marima?
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. What up? That's the only bit of that song that I know, but it's so worth it. So I can answer that question like that every time.
You guys make me feel old now. God.
I think you are the oldest, Caitlin, because you're
oh my God.
I am.
Oh my God, Caitlin, you're like so old. Oh my God.
Oh my God, 25. Oh my God.
Oh no, we're the same age.
Twins.
I think I'm a few months older than you, Karen.
Okay. That works.
Okay, well, we can plot out our ages at another point. What else have we got to say? Oh, we have a fun announcement from Gabrielle. Did you want to say that real quick?
Yeah, so if you are a newbie and do not want to be spoiled, Danielle and I are going to record a trailer and poster analysis discussion for the end of this episode. So if you're a newbie listening, sign off now. But if you want to be spoiled, which, you know, I don't blame you, or if you're an oldie but a goodie, stay on and we'll discuss the trailer and poster so that fans can hear what we think. But yeah, just beware. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, so big spoiler warning. And Karen and Caitlin, neither of you have watched the trailer yet, have you?
Nope.
Okay, so we're being good newbies. the other people who will remain unnamed could learn from us and not watch the things. If you would like to hear a completely terrible discussion of the Veronica Mars trailer in addition to Danielle and Gabrielle's, you can listen to the most recent episode of Hype, where no one on the show had watched Veronica Mars except for me, and I wasn't allowed to watch the trailer, so I couldn't talk about it. Yay! Okay, so I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else to add for this episode?
Don't think so.
No, don't think so.
Okay, so we will see you next time for Veronica Mars episodes 7 and 8. And until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Gabrielle.
And I'm Karen.
Bye.
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 Hello and welcome to our little spoiler section here at the end of the podcast. It's a few days later than what you actually just heard. So I'm here, I'm Danielle, and Gabrielle's here with me too. And we're ready to super fan all over the trailer, the poster, and the newly announced miniseries. So we're really excited.
Yay! So if you don't want to be spoiled, sign off now so you don't listen to us.
Yes. I mean, I know you want to listen to us, but if you don't want to be spoiled, and if you're a newbie, please don't be spoiled. You'll hear our voice soon enough, or you can just replay the episode to hear us. So, yes. All right. So let's... Oh, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the poster?
Well, yeah, let's start with the poster, because that's, like, the least exciting, I guess.
Yes, of the three, it's the least exciting, but it's still pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it just gives us the least information, I'd say, for those Veronica Mars fans. Also, I don't know. I think it's good. I think it shows what the movie's about. I think there was a different poster at the Comic-Con event, so I was a little bit surprised by this poster, but I liked it. I liked that it was noirish, it was dark, and Kristen Bell looks amazing. Yes. I don't think it necessarily tells newcomers what the movie's about with the tagline, "She thought she was out."
Yeah. But can I just say that I love that tagline? I love it because it reminds me of what episode? It was in the first season. I think it was one of my favorite lines in the podcast episode we did. But she goes, she's talking with Wallace. They're walking outside where people eat lunch. And she goes, "Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in." If you remember that line, like, I think that's what the movie poster tagline is from. And it just makes me really excited.
Well, I think it's cute. I just think if you're a new fan, like, if you're my dad who watched the trailer with me, I don't really think he gets it. So I just think it depends on who they're trying to market the movie to. I loved it, but I'm also a marshmallow.
Yeah. I actually think that they're marketing it pretty well for just general audiences. I mean, we'll get to the trailer, obviously, in a second. But I think that the movie poster looks interesting enough because it's shot in a noir type of way, and you have like her face on it, and how could you turn down Kristen Bell's face? But yeah, I really liked it. I liked the little snapshots of the cast members that we can expect to see along the side. I think you and I were talking about it, and Mitch and Ariana brought it up too, that it's interesting that Gia is in the photo negatives on the right hand side of the poster. Did you think that? Did we talk? I don't remember. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I think we talked maybe a little bit about it, but I thought it was interesting just because she was only in season two, or maybe this was in the comments of the Hypeable article, but she was only in season two. She was a fun character. Her father, I'd say, was more influential in the long run of Veronica Mars than she was, just because of Cassidy.
And she like dropped off the face of the earth.
Right. Like, we don't think she went to Hearst. Like, you know, we don't know if she went to college. And I get that Kristen Ritter is now more famous and really well liked by fans across television shows. But I'm interested to see what role she has to play, because she's not Logan's girlfriend who dies. We know that. We see her for a brief moment at the reunion, but we really don't know what her role is going to be. So either she's on the poster just because, you know, she's a pretty well-known television actor, or she's on it because there's some importance in the movie.
Yeah, which I'm really interested to see, because I'm all for Kristen Ritter having some sort of importance.
Oh, also, I think we should discuss Ryan Hansen, general topic. So maybe we'll save him for the end, and we'll include trailer, poster, and web series, because I know we both love him.
Yes, we do.
But just in terms of how the characters have aged, Piz, much cuter on the poster and in the trailer. Just got to point that out.
He is cute.
Wallace looks very intense.
He looks dapper.
And in this poster, it looks like he's staring into a briefcase or an important document. Like Veronica's involving him in the case again, mm-hmm. which I love because they're a great team.
Hell yeah.
We have the Veronica Logan moment, which, you know, love fans love, like me. And Weevil. Can we talk about Weevil and how he really wasn't in the trailer?
He wasn't. And I was really upset because, I mean, we all knew that he was coming back, those of us who did keep up with, like, the casting news. And I was excited about it. And even in this poster, we can't even see his face, which kind of makes me sad, too. Like, everyone else, you have at least a profile of their face. And I feel like he's turned even a little bit further away from the camera, which I find interesting.
Well, it's interesting because in the Comic-Con clip that we saw, for those of us who were there, it was awesome. And for those of us who watched online, it was, you know, equally awesome. He was in the reunion clip. Like, he said he was married in the clip.
Yeah, so I remember hearing about that.
The fact that he wasn't in the trailer was just weird. I always thought it would be funny. This is just my fandom imagination. If he was married to, like, a rich 09er girl if something, or to Carmen. I think, you know, like, yeah. Either one or the other.
I think Mitch is actually pulling for him to be married to Carmen.
Well, that would be cute, yeah. But, like, also, wouldn't it be random if he was married to Gia? Like, that would just kind of be maybe a little out of character, but an interesting thing. So it's good to know that Weevil's alive, because there's one moment in the trailer where Veronica's staring at a picture of a presumably dead guy or injured guy, and a lot of fans thought it was Weevil.
I didn't even think about that until you mentioned that to me, too. I really hope the dead guy in the photo isn't Weevil. I would be really upset. But
I'd be upset, too, just for the actor as well. Like, you know, at all the events and all the press stuff, he's just been saying how much he loves Veronica Mars and how it saved his life the first time around and saved him again. So if they killed him, that'd just be a jerky thing to do. I'm sorry, Rob Thomas. Please don't kill him.
Please don't kill him. So, I mean, we're talking about the trailer now. So I just wanted to go over, I guess, quick plot points that show up in the trailer that maybe we hadn't known before, that we were speculating on before. One of them that was sort of speculated, and I don't remember if it was confirmed or not, but it was that Logan's girlfriend was going to be Carrie Bishop, the one who was murdered.
That was the thought.
That was a thought. And then in this trailer, it confirmed it, didn't it? Because we see Carrie Bishop's new face plastered all over the TVs. And I believe the TVs do say Carrie Bishop on them.
I think so as well. But as was reported earlier, the person who played Carrie Bishop isn't coming back as Carrie Bishop. Because that was Peyton Meester, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's a different actress, which kind of annoys me just because everyone else returns. So it's kind of like everyone else can return. Why can't she? But I get that she's filming a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, they had only a few weeks of filming, so it was probably just too crazy. But I do remember when casting first went out, we were told that Leighton Meester wasn't returning. We were told who was taking her spot and that person was playing Carrie Bishop and that she was actually contributing, I think, one or two songs to the soundtrack. And so I guess she's going to be like a music superstar. So it makes sense in the realm of the movie that that's who Logan's girlfriend is, because she's super famous and then she gets murdered.
Can we talk about the fact, just what we think about Logan dating a pop star, or presumably a pop star? I was really disappointed just because, I don't know, I'd like to, like, it seems like Veronica has grown, even though she's pulled back into Neptune. It seems like, you know, she's no longer super mistrusting of everyone, and she's a lawyer and trying to help people in a legal way. Mm-hmm. But then you hear that Logan is dating a pop star. I'm like, really? And then the fact that one of the pictures showed that, like, the club was presumably Logan's club.
I didn't notice that.
I don't – well, one of, like, the, you know, paparazzi pictures. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that also pisses me off. So if it's not true, I don't know. But, yeah, I was just disappointed with the fact that it seemingly Logan's just in the same place he was.
I agree, you know, with that.
And he's living with Dick, and he's dating a pop star who he's accused of murdering.
Right. I mean, I understand that with things not working out with Veronica, that his life, I mean, is different, and he probably was upset about it for a while. I mean, it's Logan, it's Veronica, it's their epic love story. But the fact that he hasn't really grown at all in what is supposed to be 10 years since we last saw him is really bothersome, considering how much growth he's had between these past three seasons that we've been watching. It just feels like everyone else around him, I mean, unless there's some sort of really great explanation for it, it just feels like everyone else around him has progressed. Like, even the little bits that we've seen of everyone else, like, Max seems to have progressed. She's super successful.
She looks hot.
She looks hot. She seems to be, not that she was ever shy, but I feel like in the few clips we do see of her in the trailer, she does seem to be a little bit more outgoing or a little bit more outspoken, possibly. So, I mean, you see these people who aren't even the main focus of the movie, of the trailer, and they seem to have progressed, and Logan's just kind of looking hot as always. I mean, I never get upset to see Logan, but he looks the same in the way that he carries the character and in the way that the character is.
Yeah, I mean, I know he said in interviews, and he said to me the one time I was lucky enough to meet him, that fans are going to be happy with the movie. But I don't know if I'm happy with the fact that seemingly he's the same as he was 10 years ago. Like, Logan's one of my favorite characters on this show, even more so than Veronica at some points. And so I'm just a little disappointed that he's a little bit stagnant. But I don't know. Another thing from the trailer is just how Wallace and Mac are kind of pressuring Veronica, which I really liked, because in the series, Veronica was always cajoling them to do favors for her.
Yeah.
So the fact that their relationship now seems really even, which it did in the third season with Wallace and Veronica. But the fact that they're all now like buddies and just, you know, she's willing to do stuff that she doesn't necessarily want to for them, I felt was nice.
It was a nice change of pace, definitely. And it was nice to see them in a sort of different role, again, progressing from where they were before. One character that we saw in the trailer that has not grown at all, kind of like Logan, but probably even less growth than that, is Miss Madison Sinclair. And she was fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, Madison, it was fun to see her. I think she's been a stay-at-home mom since the series, mainly. So it's neat to see her back in that role, which, you know, she originated and she was really good at in making the fans hate her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect her to grow, so I was happy with that scene, and I was happy how the trailer presented Veronica's, you know, now a lawyer and this whole love triangle thing, but at the same time, willing to kick ass and take names, especially when it comes to high school nemeses.
Yeah, and she's not even being, like, witty or sassy. Like, she's had it up to wherever with Madison, and so she just decks her, which is great. I was not expecting that at all, and so I really enjoyed it. Let's see, who else? Papa Mars still looks as wonderful as always. I wish... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I wish we got a Who's Your Daddy line in there. Yeah. I don't know if that's what you were going to say.
I was going to say, I wish we would have seen a little bit more of him, but the Who's Your Daddy line would have been wonderful. It had better be in there. Oh, gosh.
Pony. I'm expecting a pony in the movie.
I'm expecting a pony. Oh, you saw this, and I didn't originally, but there's a little Dax Shepard cameo in there, which is very enjoyable.
So there's been rumors about who's appearing in the movie, and Hypeable, we've reported on some of them, and fans have been happy and unhappy that we're spoiling it for them.
Sorry, my bad.
Kind of our job.
Yep.
But yeah, I love Dax Shepard. As you guys all know, he's married to Kristen Bell. They have a baby together. And I really love him on Parenthood. And if you don't watch Parenthood, please do. It's the best show on television right now, my opinion. But yeah, he's there and he's like dancing kind of creepily. And Kristen Bell just kind of gives him a look like, what the hell are you doing? So that was nice. Also, Jerry O'Connell's in the movie.
Yeah. It was good to see him.
He was great.
Yeah, we got to see him. We also saw a glimpse of new Sheriff Lamb. And I thought that was interesting. I still can't really get a good read on him yet.
Isn't that Jerry O'Connell?
It is. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Cliff. My bad.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I'm horrible with actor names that I haven't heard before. But yes, Jerry O'Connell. I can't get a read on what the new Sheriff Lamb is going to be like. I know, or at least I think I know, Rob Thomas said something about him being possibly more bumbling than his brother. But it was hard to see anything in the short glimpse that we got of him. But it's interesting to be sure.
I think just based on his haircut that he's going to be more bumbling than his brother. But that's just me.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Let's see who else was in the trailer. Oh, we saw a lot more action than we did in Veronica Mars, like a lot of like car chase or, you know, Veronica almost being shot, it appeared like. So I like the fact that it seemed like Veronica has grown up and that the danger is getting more real, which it definitely did in season 3. But that's not my favorite season. So I like the fact that in the movie, which is hopefully going to be amazing, it seemed intense and it seemed like she's out of high school and the bad guys aren't just giving her, you know, not doing anything just because she's cute and bubbly.
Exactly. Like the last, I think it's the last like 20 seconds of the trailer is where it really all goes down. And I enjoyed the clips of her sort of acting almost like a spy, I guess is the best way to put it. Like she's crawling across the ground, like hiding in shadows. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think in general, because of those types of images and those types of themes that are going through the trailer, I think that it is a pretty good trailer for the general audience and not just Veronica Mars fans.
I think
that there's something in it for everyone and that it's gotten a lot of buzz even from people who weren't originally Veronica Mars people.
Yeah, I will back that up. I watched the trailer a lot of times and it made my dad watch it, who has never seen Veronica Mars, never watched it, you know, doesn't really know the name, to be honest. And so I made him watch it and he liked it. He didn't know who anyone was, which I think is kind of typical for someone who's in their 50s, just because Kristen Bell is the most well-known of the cast. And even she isn't Zooey Deschanel or,
right. She's not a superstar.
Right. She's not Angelina Jolie in that way. So the fact that like my dad watched it and really liked it, I think says something. And that I really liked it and saw all the things that I loved during the series. And we saw completely different things. Oh, can we talk about Leo?
Yes, let's talk about Leo.
So he looks Schmidt or Max Greenfield. looks great. And he looks professional.
He looks a little Schmidt-like. A little Schmitty.
Yeah, because, yeah.
But it's fine.
It was nice to see him. And, like, you know, the fact that he's still in law enforcement was great. And that Veronica didn't, you know, that his career was unharmed during his time in Neptune was nice to see.
And he didn't seem like a pushover in this clip, which was nice. I think he asked something along the lines of, you're doing this again, or something like that, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, and he's like, or something like, how'd you get this information?
Yeah. So,
it was nice to see. I imagine that he's married and has kids. I hope we get to know a little bit about him.
Yeah. Before we talk about Dick, I just want to see if there was anything that you wanted to be in the trailer that maybe wasn't, besides more Weevil.
I wanted to see more Wallace and Mac because I want to know what they're up to. And yeah, I mean, I like Chris Lowell, so it's nice to see Piz, even if I didn't really like Piz as a character or as a character for Veronica during the series. I don't know. It's tough because it's like a 2-2.5 minute trailer, so it's tough to pack everything in.
And we don't know exactly.
What? I don't think we saw Cliff in the trailer, did we?
Cliff, I think, shows up at the very end. He's standing next to Keith Mars, and he says, like, something really quickly. But we did not see Vinnie Van Lo.
And we know, and those who have kept up with the coverage, we know Vinnie Van Lo is in the movie.
Yes.
And Ken Marino is great, and he's friends with everyone, and he's, you know, especially he's worked with Ryan Hansen a lot. And he was in Party Down, which Rob Thomas created. So, yeah, I wanted to see Vinnie Van Lo. I know they shot a scene on the Santa Monica Pier, which is near me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's creepy. He's a little bit lurker status. So more Vinnie would have been great.
Yeah, it would have. And another thing that I was a little bit sad about that didn't make the trailer was any sort of Corny sighting.
Oh, I hope he's back.
I'm almost positive I reported on that he was. I think he's on my list because at first I was like, wait, Corny, who's Corny? And then when we started rewatching, I fell in love with Corny all over again. So I was sad when he didn't make the trailer.
Oh, do you think Parker's going to be in the movie? We don't know. If Piz is in the movie.
Oh, shoot. Is she? I can double check.
It hasn't been confirmed.
Then probably not. I don't think she was really she was a very good character. I enjoy having her around. I don't know if she was enough of a fan favorite character to the point where people would want to see her back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, I thought it gave a pretty good, all in all, I thought the trailer gave a pretty good idea of what the movie was going to be about. And it included a few longing stares, which you can't go without. So.
Oh, can we talk about the love triangle? Because a lot of fans have been up in arms a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. I just want to say one thing, and I wish that Piz would have been given more of a role in this trailer. I mean, I don't know about the movie, but I'm hoping that the trailer is not indicative of the movie, but it seems like Piz only is in the movie for the love triangle. Like, it doesn't seem like he has a purpose, which kind of made me sad. But yeah, what did you, let's discuss.
So some fans have been mad how, you know, when Veronica makes a phone call and she's like, you know, I can't come back right now. And he's like, sure, you could. So fans have been divided, at least on Tumblr, where I frequent. About if he's like a bad person for saying that because he's just like not giving her enough credit, or if he's actually true. Like, yeah, she could have just said, like, I could be back. I don't want to because of this, this, and this. And I agree with the later. I think Veronica could have taken a little more responsibility and ownership. And I like Piz. I think the fact, you know, we know that they only reconnected like a year before the movie. So it's not like they were together for 10 years and they're married and have like 5 kids. So I don't know. I think it's interesting to throw in the fact that she would go back to him when she's kind of running from her past in a way, going to New York, becoming a lawyer. But he's able to support her, at least for that year they're together. So it's kind of interesting. It's interesting about Veronica, I'd say, more than it's interesting to see Piz back.
Yeah, which, again, is a shame because it seems like he's only there for the love triangle. Like, I like the fact that they haven't been together for 10 years. But on the other hand, because they've been together for such a short time, it's kind of obvious, at least to me, that he was thrown in there just for the love triangle.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's been a short time.
Especially how the trailer portrays it with the stares between Logan and Veronica, and like Logan, you know, asking her if she thought he did it. And the fact that she says, wait, don't go, or wait, stay, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy there's Logan Veronica moments because I'm a big Logan fan, even though I don't think he worked in college necessarily, because I think they both had to grow. But yeah, I kind of feel bad for Piz that he's just shuttled off to the side. And I also feel a little bad that Veronica Mars is being at least marketed a little bit like a love triangle movie in a way.
Yeah,
it still has a little more mystery, but the fact that they still have to highlight that just shows how our society is, I think, when it's not a big part, at least of the series and hopefully not the movie.
Yeah. I mean, we are excited about the movie. We're so over the moon that this is happening, and we really enjoyed the trailer. We're just being a little nitpicky just because we can, I guess.
Just because we have a trailer.
Yeah, because we have a trailer, which is much more than I ever would have thought a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how far everything has come in less than a year. So it's great to have a trailer. And it's also great to have a trailer that features Dick.
Yay!
Every once in a while. My favorite part with Dick in the trailer is him and his little flask belt at the party or at the reunion.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I don't know. I feel like I can't decide between my favorite moments of him, because the scene where Veronica, you know, knocks on the door and he basically refers to her as a prostitute was genius. Like, his comedic timing is great. And I mean, he was great on the series, but I think since he's done other work like Party Down and Burning Love, I think he's improved a lot, mm-hmm. or maybe we just get to see him more. But yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm also excited that, you know, on the poster, he's shirtless. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, is he still a surfer bum? Like, what is he doing with his life? Because he's shirtless. And like, you know, the scene one of the scenes we saw him in the trailer, and he's shirtless in the poster. So
yeah.
That's my guess.
That would be nice. He also, I'm excited to see the scene. I think it is on the pier or something, or on a boardwalk, where there's like a dancing gorilla somewhere, because that's him too.
Yeah. Excited. He volunteered to do that.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. But yes, so I feel like Dick is one of the superstars of this trailer, just as he is sort of a superstar of Veronica Mars by accident.
I agree. I think he's definitely like the comedy aspect, at least of the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I think he and Gia maybe will be that of the movie, just because in the series, Gia is so stupid that it's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I think the movie's going to have everything, and I think the trailer was a good beginning.
I think so, too.
Should we move on to the next announcement?
Yes.
I guess, well, first, they're going to premiere at South by Southwest, for those of you who haven't been reading the articles on Hypeable. So if you're in Austin and you can get tickets to South by Southwest, they're premiering, I forget when, but it's a really big deal to have Veronica Mars as a featured film at South by Southwest, and Rob Thomas is from Austin, so he'll probably be there, and maybe Kristen Bell. So if you can go, I'd go. I just can't afford it, so I'm jealous.
Yeah, I can't either. I'm super jealous, because I wish I could. But if you can, please do, because I'm sure it will just be an awesome experience. But yeah, so that's sort of exciting news. But the exciting news that broke yesterday, which was Wednesday the 15th, was the fact that Veronica Mars is getting a spinoff series.
Yay!
And not only are they getting a spinoff series, they're getting a spinoff series starring Dick.
Yay!
I just, oh my gosh. I was, when they first announced the spinoff series, and it's on the CW's digital platform, it's called the CW Seed. I knew that it wasn't going to be like full blown hour episodes, but that's completely fine. I'm sure that packing whatever into like 8 to 10 minute episodes, something like that, will be great. And then, we were going to speculate for a while or write up an article about who might be the focus of this new series or this new spinoff. And then like 2 hours later, it was announced that Dick is going to be, it's going to be revolving around Dick. So it was a very quick announcement, and it was also very exciting, to the point where I dreamed of Dick Casablancas last night. I was so excited. I'm not even kidding.
That dream.
Oh gosh, it was good. Is great.
Yeah, I was excited. I was on Twitter. And for those of you who don't know, I also report on Veronica Mars for Hypeable. So I saw like one of the television critics who I follow tweeted about Veronica Mars spinoff, and like a minute later the article was ready, and I was like flipping out. And I was like, where is there more info? Like, why don't they have an idea yet? But I think it's cool, especially since Ryan Hansen is close friends with Kristen Bell. He went with Kristen and Rob Thomas to Vegas for the Variety Awards, which they've won. So I think it's cool that it's still staying in the family, because at first I thought it was going to be some minor character. Sorry, mm-hmm. Daniel, corny, or who I like, but like, right. I would have been sad if it was just like a spinoff of someone like younger than Veronica Mars following in her footsteps, which honestly I could see the CW doing and wouldn't be surprised with. So it kind of mirrors Party Down, and it mirrors Burning Love. So it's definitely up Ryan Hansen and Rob Thomas's alley, in the way that it is Ryan Hansen trying to make a, you know, show about Dick. Casablanca's.
Which is
and
great.
Recruiting his celebrity friends.
I feel like besides Rob Thomas and Kristen Bell, Ryan Hansen has to be one of that show's biggest cheerleaders. He may be even on par with Kristen Bell. So to have someone so excited about Veronica Mars star in the Veronica Mars spinoff is just, I'm really happy with it. Because I don't think that he would do anything that wouldn't be not Veronica Mars like, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm happy too, because the fact that, you know, it's going to be about him trying to get his friends to help him make this show and trying to get the industry to make it, like, mm-hmm. in a satirical way. So maybe we'll see other Veronica Mars characters. You know, maybe we'll see him trying to get Percy Daggs III to reprise Wallace in this show. Or, and it's also good news because Ryan Hansen's career is on the up and up, and he's starting to get more industry recognition, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I would have loved it to be another cast member, like Francis Capra or Percy Daggs III or even Tina,
mm-hmm.
I think his career is more on the up and up than theirs, so it's going to help the series survive. And at the same time, I get why it's on the CW because Veronica Mars was, but I almost wish it wasn't, just to give it more industry credibility. Because a lot of times critics don't give the CW enough credit, as seen with Arrow, which I love.
Yes, me too. I agree with that. I wish the CW wasn't, it's getting better, but it's still a slight punchline when it comes to television shows. So I can see.
Yeah, I mean,
where
I agree. I think it's also hard when all of their actors are beautiful. And it's just like,
yeah,
sometimes it doesn't seem like they have anyone who's realistic. Even with Arrow, with Felicity, she's still like really gorgeous and glamorous. So I think that's also an issue, at least for critics, the fact that there's no one like Huck on Scandal who's beautiful in his own way but isn't like conventionally leading man material.
Right. But I do think that the CW is probably, on the other hand, a really good fit just for what I am envisioning as the tone of the show. Because ABC would make it a little too hokey, I would think. NBC, I could see it going the way of like 30 Rock or Parks and Rec, which isn't bad, but that's not how I envision Dick. And so I feel like in that way, the CW is probably a good fit.
Well, I'd also say it's a good fit just because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're the only one of the five networks that has like kind of web series arm or a digital arm that produces content. So, you know, pretty much if they wanted to make a web series, it was to go the Lizzie Diaries way or to go through a network, which I think they probably prefer more.
Yeah, exactly. So all in all, we are very excited for this spinoff. Gabrielle will be reporting information as she gets it. You're very quick at that, which I really appreciate.
Well, yeah, right now I'm out of job, so I have no excuse.
But yeah, so many exciting things happening.
And also, can we just give a charitable shout out? Are we allowed to do that on our podcast for Veronica Mars fans?
Sure.
Okay, so for those, since obviously this is the spoiler portion of the episode, for those who have seen season 3, you all know Mercer, who's played by Ryan Devlin. And he has a nonprofit, if you guys are interested, called The Spar Saves Lives. And they were at Comic-Con, and Samsung helped them save, like, I think 33 lives in honor of Kristen Bell's 33rd birthday. Or maybe it was 30th. I can't remember. But anyway, if you buy, like, a nutritional bar from them, they'll send a packet of food to a child in need overseas. So if you guys are interested, it's called This Bar Saves Lives. And it's the Veronica Mars tie-in. And Kristen Bell tweets about it all the time.
Yeah,
she does. I have a feeling that they might... I'm hoping that at the Veronica Mars premiere and, you know, maybe some promotional stuff, they'll include some charities, which Kristen Bell is like a champion of like at least five charities that are really important. So
yeah, check at out least all. At one time. So
yeah. It's intense. So check out all of them.
So I think that's all we have for you for this extra special spoiler session. We enjoyed geeking out a little bit more than we're allowed to on regular episodes. But yes. We'll be getting closer to this kind of spoilerific talk soon-ish, which will be nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're halfway through season 3 in recording, or we're almost?
Almost, yeah. So, who knows? We might be having another spoiler session at some point soon, because I'm assuming they'll have maybe a second trailer or TV clips or something. So stay tuned for that. We can do that again. But I think we're good for this one. So we will see you, or yes, we'll just say that. It's too confusing. We'll see you next time when we come back to discuss the next two episodes of Veronica Mars. So I'm Danielle.
I'm Gabrielle.
And we hope that you have a wonderful week, Marshmallows. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.